Sex Podcast, episode 117-ish. My name is Lior. And with me today are my two usual co-hosts, Erilyn and Alindriel. And I say usual, we haven't done this in like 3 years. Hi, guys.
Maybe you haven't done this in 3 years.
No, I haven't done this at all. You're my only friend.
Nice. So one of my favorite Let's Play groups, the Men Drinking Coffee, they quit doing this a couple years ago, and they just came back on YouTube this week, and they're like, you know, it's coronavirus, we're back, we're just going to talk some bullshit. And I'm like, God, we could do that. We could come back for coronavirus and talk some bullshit. So here we are.
Turns out we're pretty
good. Ellie, how have your last 3 years been? You know, you want to sum that up? And
I had another kid. Is that before or after the podcast? I think that was after. I changed jobs.
That was after.
I changed roles within my job, and now I'm at home, like everybody else.
Like most of the world, we too are at home. Arrow, how have your last 3 years been?
I did not have another kid. Instead, I got two really obnoxiously loud and athletic dogs and a house, which we moved into 3 days before quarantine. Which was very exciting because we hadn't been buying groceries because we're moving. And who wants to pack up a pantry? Nobody. So we moved to a new house that's got way too many toilets with no toilet paper, which is very exciting.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, and then working from home is very different when everyone's at home.
Is it better or worse for you?
It is way worse because, well, we moved right before quarantine, so...
Oh, you mean everybody in your family, not everybody in your company.
Oh, yeah, everybody in my family.
Yeah, that's different.
yeah, so, like, the six-year-old is incredibly lonely because we weren't worried about her moving because she's really good at making friends, and she's not legally allowed to make friends. She stands sadly on the front porch and waves at people like Colin Craven.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Yeah, it's awful.
We definitely have that going on here, too. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, at least my my older child has like internet friends. She plays a lot of Minecraft and Roblox. So she's not been completely cut off. But that means that she's not desperate enough to play with her sister. So that's unfortunate.
I really feel for parents at this moment. You guys have an extra level of challenge in your houses right now, and trying to figure out, you know, how to continue educating or that's even possible.
No. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We're all bad teachers compared to real teachers.
I can't. I'm not a teacher. None of us are teachers. Every morning I'm like, log into Google Classroom, see if your teacher has said anything. That's it. That's the best I can do.
Right.
We do online music. Like our music class went online. So we do that a couple times a week. And we all sit and sing and dance and run around our living room. And that's about as much energy as I have for actual schooling. Like,
yeah, the GUPS piano lessons are on Zoom now. So we've got that. But dance classes, not working. Gymnastics, no, none of that is happening. But at least, you know, Minecraft is physics.
Sure.
That's how Let's I look at it. It's physics.
It's also programming.
Yes.
Right? That makes sense. I know, even for me as like a super introvert, I am at the point now where like day 42 or something of isolation. And I just need to go somewhere different. I haven't been anywhere new and different. And I was okay for the first few weeks, mostly keeping busy. But now I'm at the point I'm like, okay, it's like sunshine. I really want to go somewhere. And the lack of travel too is kind of a bummer, thinking like all these vacations that are not going to happen. Who knows when we'll be getting in an airplane again? I don't know. So, yeah, it's been an interesting time, but it's been a really good time to catch up on my gaming. I got to admit, I've totally
excellent
not.
Segue.
Thank
that
you.
Was so
I still got it. I still got it. I work in communications now, so that's what I do. But I got totally out of games. Like, I didn't play anything at all for months and months and months, close to a year, really. And then this is just, I have so much more time now. So I've been playing so many games the last little while. I don't even, like, so many, I can't even keep up with them. I'm just like, yeah, I'll play that. Sure, I'll play that. Why not? Except MMOs. Have either of you, felt the siren call of MMOs?
Yeah. A little. I actually just reinstalled The Old Republic because, I mean, you don't have to do a recurring subscription. You can just play a flat fee for a month and then turn it off. And I was like, I really like The Mandalorian. I miss playing my Bounty Hunter. And my sister wanted something that was old and free. So, because she's got an old laptop. So I thought, hey, it'll be Star Wars for a while. And man, I used to clean up on the GTN, like, a lot. I was really good at making fake money in Star Wars, and now there are only two servers, and I'm apparently even better. In 3 days, I made 900,000 credits, or 900 million credits.
That sounds like a lot of credits.
It's a lot of credits. It's a shit ton of credits. I'm going to go buy every house.
Yeah. They have houses in that game now?
Lots of them.
Interesting.
That's the wheels turning. This is what happens when you talk to people.
Yeah, they just, the most recent one, I say just, I think it was last year. It's been a long time. I had a whole lot of cartel coins because I never unhooked my little key fobby thingy.
Oh.
So it was like 4 years of cartel coin security key grant. Oh, hey.
That's awesome.
But they have an Alderaan noble stronghold thing that's got, you know, mountain views and a hot tub spring cave area. Just like, damn, guys, that's some intense shit.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, now I gotta buy a bunch of furniture to fit it up.
Just like in real life.
Just like in, yeah, my... We tried to look on the bright side. Oh, hey, we're stuck in the house. We can totally get everything unpacked way sooner than we thought. No. No.
No.
I think I still have... No. I'm like 10 years into this house, and I think I still have boxes.
How about you, Ellie? Have you been playing in any MMOs?
I also watched The Mandalorian and then started trying to play Star Wars for a little while. That didn't really work out. Then I tried Elder Scrolls for a while. That didn't really work out. Then I tried WoW for a while again. I've been in and out of Classic a few times. And non-Classic. What else? There's probably some other MMOs on my machine. I don't know.
Everything I hear about Classic makes me think of that time that we very briefly tried to play Galaxies.
It's better than that.
Well, no, I mean, it feels like that same kind of thing, though, where we were like, God damn, this used to be really fun. Oh, getting here wasn't any fun.
I remember getting on that Galaxy server with Core, because we had only, like, heard you guys talking about it. We're running around, and we're like, I don't understand what they were saying about this game.
Yeah. It's just,
like, well, that's because really you, that's because you have a context of, like, 10 years of, like, improvements built on top of that to get to vanilla, right? Right. Like, maybe a few years, but, like, and like the thing about Classic is it's just like, no, it's just all shitty. Like, I mean, it's not like
my favorite thing are people tell me they'll post like the release notes where it will be like, this is not a bug. This is the way it was supposed to work.
Yeah.
Yes, there is no tracking on the map. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, you have to carry ammo, and if you run out of ammo in the middle of the fight, you have to run in and punch things.
Yeah. This is not a bug, it's a feature, because this game is for sadists.
And you don't have ammo bags, so it's your same and normal inventory bag, and you're giving it up.
I played Classic to, like, level 20-ish on a character, and I enjoyed it, but man, running around the Barrens is some lame-ass game.
I actually like the Barrens. See, the Barrens, I ran around the Barrens as well in Classic, and that brought back all the good memories of when I first ran around the Barrens. I always like the Barrens because it is just, it feels huge. Like, that's part of the thing, and that's part of the draw. Like, previous MMOs and current MMOs don't feel big. That one just felt big. Everything took forever to get to. so many death runs with I just like turn on auto run and walk away for 5 minutes and hope I'm like not run off the elevator at the south end of the Barrens, but like just instead hit a tree. Like that part I liked, but it's definitely painful and slow. It's slow. I think some of the incremental speed ups I always felt were rough, or like I didn't like them when I was like, this is getting so fast, right? But there's a happy middle ground, and vanilla was not it for me, turns out.
Yeah, I know I don't know the status of it, but I know they were talking about doing like a Burning Crusade classic, and at least that would have relatively more quality of life. I have to admit, if that happens, I would be tempted to go check it out again, just because Burning Crusade is sort of the best for me. That's like where most of my nostalgia lies. But I've had the same thing. Like, I've thought about getting back into Final Fantasy XIV because they just had an expansion come out recently. But that game is like the grindiest grind that ever grinded. And I just don't want to get into that. And then I thought about WoW, but I'm kind of like, ugh. I got to stop some point. I got to stop. I played Tissot for like 2 weeks. It's extremely lore heavy, and I don't care.
Yeah, that's
so that makes Tissot
that
not
I
a great
fault
candidate
on it every time. And it's like, yeah. And it's like make your own class and like open ended. And I'm just like, just tell me which buttons to press. I don't want to think right now. Like the evenings are not for thinking.
That's kind of the thing. Like I wanted MMO to have like, you know, on one screen and I'm watching something on the other screen. And Tissot, all these NPCs kept going on really long stories, and I'm like, but my TV show is. Can you wrap this up a little faster? I'm trying to watch Love Island here, people. If you could just like go a little faster, that'd be great. So yeah, I haven't. And then Guild Wars 2, I went to the length of re-downloading it because they recently, I quit when they had the whole Jessica Price nonsense a few years ago, and then recently the head of Guild Wars 2 stepped down and someone else took over, so I'm like, all right, I guess I can give them a shot again. And again, I installed it. I think of any MMO that might be the one I could go back to just because of the map completion gives me like good targeted content. But again, I don't know. MMOs, for whatever reason, even though I have more time than ever before right now, none of them are really, really appealing.
The problem for me was they were lonely. Like, I felt really lonely in MMOs. Like, in single player games, you're like supposed to play on your own, and in MMOs I'm going to play on my own because of my hours and stuff right now, and like as much as I want that like really low brain load sort of background half paying attention game, I don't know, it's really lonely running around the Barrens on your own.
Well, I'm gonna use that as a segue again. You've been playing Animal Crossing, Ellie. It is the new hot new thing that everyone is playing right now.
Yeah.
Are you playing Animal Crossing? You said you were, so now
I am logging in every day to collect my 300 walking miles or whatever the secondary currency is. I'm playing it. It's my first Animal Crossing. But it's also kind of grindy.
It's hella grindy.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. And I keep running up against this, and I don't want to reduce anyone's enjoyment of it, but like I got the game and I'm like, so what am I doing here? And Vajra really likes it. So he will spend a lot of time like watching TV, you know, he likes to fish, he likes to collect stuff. And at me, I log on and I'm like, I could like pick up sticks or something, but really, is there not anything I could be doing with my life that's of more value? Then cleaning up weeds from my virtual yard? I don't know. It hasn't really worked.
Yeah, so
for
I
me.
Like that part of it. It's kind of like a, like, if I just want something to do for a few minutes, it's fine. Like, I feel like I get something from logging in. But, like, now I'm kind of like, I need to build some stuff. And then, like, the stuff that I need to build means I have to build some other stuff. And then I only have so much ore I can get on my island in a given day. It's all pegged to real time. And you can adjust the clock time on the system to get another day and reset all your shit. Or you can go, like, to other islands. But it's just, like... So I'm kind of logging in and mining the four ore nodes on my island, and then eventually I'll have enough iron to like build a bridge or something, and then I don't know. It'll be fine. It's a slow burn.
That's where I'm at too, is trying to build a bridge. I have the recipe for a bridge, but I don't know how to build the materials for the bridge. So it's been like a week of, excuse me, hanging out and being like, well, I don't know. And everyone's talking about their turnips and their towns and terraforming. And I'm still in the, like, I dug a hole.
And there's like more people coming to my island and it was supposed to be a deserted island. Like, what the hell? Stop invading my deserted island.
Well, that's true. I know. I was like, oh, it'll be like all foresty and idyllic. And people were like, no, you need to put a road in here and you need to set up housing. And I'm like, this is the problem, people. Global warming.
And I didn't know that, like, everybody's house was going to get huge when I placed our tents like kind of close to each other. So I'd have tent neighbors, but now I have like three mansions on top of each other, and like one other random guy who's got the good spot on the other side of the island. Because I'm like, oh, I don't like you. Well, you're going to go stay over here.
Era's like, nope, not convinced.
I know a lot of people really love it. A lot of people really love Stardew Valley. It does not work for me at all in any way. And that's cool. Yeah. I enjoy watching people enjoy it. I like seeing the joy on my timeline. It's nice to see people happy. I have the Nintendo eShop thing for my Switch, so I'm playing, you know, Breath of Fire and Symphony of the Night, you know, because comfort food.
Yeah. I got really into Tetris 99. That's my thing. Tetris Showdowns.
Is that the MMO Tetris?
I'm like too good, so I'm like close enough. Sorry, that face. Like, I understand
Tetris.
Everybody
yeah,
can't see our faces,
problem.
But like, I'm relatively good at Tetris, is what I meant to say. And so, like, when I first started, I was closer to the top than I expected to be when I was first starting out on Tetris 99.
So they crushed you like a bug?
So then people who had been playing recognized that I could get targeted because I might be a threat. But I had no fucking idea how to do with the, like, the weird thing where you, like, send your bricks to other people and stuff. And I just didn't want to deal with it. I just want to play Tetris. Can I just play Tetris in Tetris 99? Or is it all Tetris MMO?
Why don't you
think it's Tetris MMO.
Is Tetris on Switch?
I'm sure it's
is
in the
good
library
is
somewhere.
The good Tetris on Switch?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually don't know. But
Tetris
seems like
is
it should
not
be.
A thing that I would look for, so...
It was like, who is looking for Tetris on the Switch?
I played a lot of Tetris in college. A lot of Tetris in college.
I played a lot of is Dragon Age.
Why are we talking about Dragon Age?
For that reason.
I will say, like, I bought the Switch right when we first got sent home early March, and now they're apparently sold out, so I'm glad I did. But being a slow adopter for the Switch, it actually is pretty cool. I will give it to Nintendo. I like the whole format of being able to play at my TV, and then I take it up to bed, and Fajra's like, are you playing Animal Crossing under the covers? And it's like, no. Or Breath of the Wild. So I think that whole portable format, I'm pretty sure like 3 years ago I made fun of it, but here I am now 3 years later to say it actually works pretty well.
It is extremely awesome, particularly in our house where people fight over the big TV and playing big games on the big TV. So no one has to stop playing. Like, Mia doesn't have to stop her Paw Patrol platformer. We just take it out, and then she's got it in her lap, and everything is fine.
Oh, I haven't even thought about that. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Arrow, what can you recommend for people to play or experience during this whole lockdown?
I really like having the Nintendo Library eShop thing. It's kind of like... Xbox Live used to be a million years ago, where you pay your subscription fee, which I think was like $15 a year, and then you just browse through and pick up old games. And it is the coolest thing in the world to play old JRPGs and not have to worry about finding a fucking save point, because you've got save state on the Switch. It's so great. It's the best.
Oh, and that's like... All the games have the save state then?
Yes.
Ooh.
And you can also rewind.
Do they don't have speed up, right? Like, they don't have that part of emulators.
I don't know. I wouldn't try to speed up, but...
Everybody tried to speed up. That was really useful when we went back and played the old RPGs where you have to run for hours and hours and hours. It's screen by screen.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. So and I guess like in Chrono Trigger, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, like basically it speeds up the clock. Most emulators have a thing like that, so you can just run really fast.
Anyway, I've been, and also like things on the iPad, like I've got Chrono Trigger, the Coder, that's decent late 90s, early 2000s games on the iPad. Basically anything movable so that I can at least change rooms in my house has been really helpful for being locked into one house all the time.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that is handy. And you can pretend it's like you've got somewhere new because now you're in the living room.
You change from your iPad to your Switch, so it's like you're doing something totally different.
True. True facts.
Ellie, what have you been playing?
I have played... I finally got my PC back, so I like picked up a couple of games that I managed to or had been putting off. So one was Superland, which is like this weird like platformy, first person platformy thing, but it kind of has that like Metroid thing where you like get more powers and unlock more areas, but you're kind of like you're like a gummy man in a kid's backyard is the so it's like you're jumping around sprinklers and like it's fun. It's an interesting game made by one guy, and I think it was crowdfunded or something. What else have I been playing? I played Uncharted Lost Legacy finally.
Need to finish that. Oh, I'm playing Control also. That's our couch co-op game.
Oh, Control, that looks good. I watched a Let's Play of that.
So good.
Which one is that?
Control is like this weird, like Lovecraftian X-Files kind of Tomb Raider play thing.
I'm writing it down.
I don't know. Are you familiar with SCP, the sort of story warehouse for creepy stories?
No, but I'm familiar with SCP, the secure copy command for Linux.
All right. Well, that's not the one I meant.
It is basically like Creepypasta the game, only good.
Yeah.
So like there's, you know, things like they were big on LiveJournal for a while, things like Candle Cove, those little stories.
Okay.
Kind of things, or the Venus Flytrap House. That the premise of the game is that all of those things like are real alternate dimension things, and this is the secret government agency charged with not fucking it up, but they fuck it up because it's a game.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. And it was pretty creepy, and then we finished installing the fancy ass surround speakers in the game room, and now it's really, really creepy. The sound design is excellent, just top notch. There's constant possessed people floating in the ceiling and chanting things that you can almost understand, but not quite. Mm. Very, very good spooky game. Very good.
Yeah, and I didn't play myself. I watched the Let's Play, but the physics look really satisfying. Like,
yes.
It looks really good to throw stuff around. And
okay.
Yeah.
I also got the Final Fantasy VII. We talked nostalgia for briefly. Have either of you played any of that?
We just got our version because Mr. Arrow ordered the special hard case, and it was held up because Amazon. That was what he had pre-ordered a million years ago. But now we're trying to wait until everyone's got time all together to play it.
Yeah. Well, if we were doing this after that, I would talk to you about how the combat is weird.
The combat is weird.
All right. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like action-y combat. People are calling it like Secret of Mana, but like I never played Secret of Mana, so I don't know. But like you kind of run around and like spam attacks, and then occasionally you do like actual attacks, but Final Fantasy VII was very turn-based and asynchronous. Synchronous? I don't know. You did your moves and then your guy went, right? But now they're all way more active. Like, Final Fantasy has gotten super active again. It's weird. I'm only a few hours in, so like I'm sure I would get used to it, but like it's very strange to like be running around as Cloud, like trying to get behind the boss and attack, and then like swap to Barret and like shoot things. And... yeah.
Yeah, I think some people wanted like the ATB bar and everything to come back and sort of
the ATB bar is here.
Oh, it is.
Because the ATB is like the action thing. So you press the X or whatever to make your like normal attacks, and that fills your ATB bar faster than it would otherwise fill. And then your ATB bar lets you do like the various physical named attacks, or use an item, or cast a spell. It's just weird to me. It's not weird. It's like different, right? It's different from Final Fantasy. So I'm getting used to it.
15 was like that, wasn't it? It was super active.
I never played 15, but I think so.
15 was like that. Yeah, it was like zip around and be quite active. And yeah, I just played a little. I played 15 up to where I could get Noctis the emo hero, like a big chocobo sombrero, and then I was like, well, I've accomplished everything I want. There's a plot twist early in the game where his father dies suddenly and his kingdom is falling apart, and he's all like in his chocobo sombrero being like, my family line is over, and I'm like, well, that's everything I wanted out of a Final Fantasy game, so I can wrap this up now.
Yeah. I will say that 7 looks amazing, so, and I don't have a pro, I just have a regular PS4. But I do have a nice TV, but it looks really, really good. So that's part.
It looks good. I'm probably not gonna get it. I have played 7, original 7. I mean, maybe eventually, but maybe I'll watch a Let's Play or something. I don't know. I don't feel particularly. I didn't play 7 back in the day when it was like the new thing, so I don't have kind of the nostalgia factor. So I probably am not the right audience for it. Yeah.
I am one of the late-to-the-party kids who got the PlayStation and Final Fantasy VII and decided that that is what Final Fantasy should all be like. and I didn't play any of the like previous ones until well after that. So this is my introduction. And that's why it has big nostalgia for me. So
I was like, before we started this, I was like, okay, games. And like I said, I haven't done a lot of gaming. And then I tried to remember if... there was a last time we recorded if I was playing Oxygen Not Included, and I don't think I was, even though it's like my whole gaming world. So I've probably put like somewhere close to like 300 hours, 400 hours into that game over the last few years. It's like it's a physics simulator, base building kind of thing. And the nice thing is it runs a really nice line for me between like base building and the satisfaction from that, and also like optimization. You're constantly like refactoring your ventilation systems to make oxygen processing more, you know, efficient or whatnot. And it hits. Oh yeah. It's all the stuff I love. So I've been doing that. And it's one of those games where like you need to iterate. So you basically, you know, you will end up like flooding everyone in liquid chlorine accidentally, oops, and then you got to start over and, you know, be like, well, I learned my lesson, I won't flood them in liquid chlorine next time. And so it's very iterative. There's a really good achievement system, and even though the game launched in July last year, they're still pretty good about bringing out like new systems and DLCs and whatnot. So between that and Rimworld, that's like been basically what I've been playing for the last 3 years.
It sounds so much like work.
It is a lot of like the different weights of gases, you know, like helium, hydrogen's always going to be the lightest, and then, you know, your polluted oxygen's going to be heavy, and so stuff like that. Yeah, I have learned a lot more about mechanical engineering than I ever thought I would know, but for some reason it just hits that sweet spot for me.
Let's do a lot of iterative subsystem design and hope that the whole thing holds together. That's basically what I do all day.
Yeah, and now you can do it for fun too. So yeah, that's been really hitting the issue. Then RimWorld has been around for a long time, but that's I mean, technically it's another base builder game, but basically it's like a story generator where, you know, you have these characters and wild random things happen to them. And I had a game the other day where my whole base went out to save someone's mother fell out of the sky in a pod, and we had to go save them. So then we did, and we brought her back, but then there was a raid at the same time, and then this poor mother watched her son be cut down by our own sentry gun in front of all these raiders, and it was a very exciting drama that just, like, randomly happens in Rimworld, so it's kind of fun to play through that. And I tell Vajra about it, and he's like, what is going on in that game? The other day I was playing a round where I was doing a high difficulty level where you start out naked and alone on a sheet of ice. Which is challenging. And then the game decided to randomly have a group of 9 Shih Tzus come and try and join my camp. And I'm like, oh, you're looking very plump, little dogs. That didn't work out well for them. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
So that's pretty much, that's like the bulk of what I've been playing basically for the last 3 years. Is Rimworld and Oxygen not included? The other one that stands out is the Return of the Obra Dinn, which is the second game by Lucas Pope, who did Papers, Please, a number of years ago. So it is, once again, you look at ship manifests and photographs, and you read journals, and you try and put together, be able to identify all 63 members of the Obra Dinn crew and what happened to them. Yes, and there's sea monsters and mutinies, and it's very, but it is very much like cross-checking paperwork to solve puzzles.
Ooh, like magic puzzles.
The other half of work.
Yeah, the other half of work. So basically, that's what I do in my spare time is I refactor systems and cross-check paperwork. It's a lot of fun. Maybe I'm bad at games. I don't know. So yeah, that's been my kind of stuff. Arrow, what about like TV and movies? We don't have much time left, but you want to throw out a support for something?
Let's see. What I watched lately? Basically, I just like spin the wheel on Netflix while I'm working to try and get something new, and I try and watch it. And I don't remember anything. I'm rewatching all of Metalocalypse right now. That's very exciting and fun.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on there's an Adult Swim app that's
Ooh.
Free.
Ooh.
Because you have to watch a 15-second commercial before every episode, which I'm totally cool with. I did discover I could handle that and add before something starts. But there's, the IMDb TV actually breaks in like 6 or 8 times in the middle of an episode. No, fuck you. I am done with that. That is some bullshit.
I don't want the ads before my TV anyway. Ad free all the way.
Well, I mean, I don't know what box my Blu-rays are in. So either I have to unpack everything all right now and find where to fucking put it, or I sit through a 10-second commercial, which I don't pay attention to anyway. So, I mean, I'm fine with that.
Ellie?
Lots of Star
movies.
Trek.
Movies.
I'm rewatching Next Generation from the beginning, and every time I do that, I forget just how terrible it is for like like the first
80s
the,
television,
the first
man.
Season was really bad. The second season was okay. The third season was good. I'm in the fourth now, or maybe I finished and I'm in the fifth. Picard got a new jacket, which is super weird. Like he's wearing this like open. Like half leather Star Trek uniform jacket, and it's very strange. The people on it are terrible people, and I don't know why we all like them so much. But
it was a different time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like some of the plots are just like these do not hold up. Like there's a lot of using Troy's body as a plot device.
Really? I don't remember that. I mean, I
believe
that exists.
Like one of the first season's episodes is like the like weird entity that comes and impregnates Troy in the middle of the night, and she has a baby that grows up super big, and at the end you're like, they like figure out that it was, oh, the entity like wanted to go through the human experience and thought Troy was like a perfectly reasonable way to do that. Yeah, it was messed up.
Oh, Gargoyles. We've got Disney Plus, so I get to watch Gargoyles with my kids. That's exciting.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. The Gup stayed riveted for 8 episodes, which is amazing.
Gargoyles good for that age, because like, my son's into Rescue Rangers right now.
Aw.
Yeah, Rescue Rangers and the one with Scrooge McDuck. DuckTales.
How old is he? Is he, what, 7?
6.
8?
5. 5.5.
5? Oh, Jesus Christ. my 6-year-old thinks it's a little scary, but she also likes to play up how she thinks everything is scary.
Okay.
When she gets a little bigger, a little more emotionally mature, she's going to totally be my horror movie and roller coaster buddy, because she loves that endorphin rush of, oh, everything is so scary. But she doesn't know how to deal with it right now. But, I mean, you can try him on it. It doesn't get much darker than the beginning.
Maybe I will really watch dark. It and figure out how we feel. There's so much on Disney. Disney Plus is so good for this. Thank God for Disney
Plus. It's so good. It's, I mean, on the one hand, like, yes, everything great is now on Disney Plus. On the other hand, it's like some venture capitalist heard everyone talking about how people wanted a la carte cable and like the monkey's paw goes down. And you know, there's some tech bro somewhere who's like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna package Disney Plus and ESPN Live and CBS Now, and I'm gonna call it cable.
Isn't that Apple? Apple?
It's true. I have to like keep really strict tabs on like what channels we're subscribed to, just because it's so easy for it to start to add up, and all of a sudden I'm like, why are we spending $150 on television? And I just watch YouTube anyway.
That reminds me, I need to cancel CBS.
You see, exactly.
Disney.
Oh, you're done with Picard now, so you put
it. Done with Picard. We're like halfway through Discovery.
Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone is really good.
Oh yeah, I heard that too.
Oh yeah.
So if you have CBS, yeah. Speaking as a Twilight Zone super fan, it's very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
So, yeah, I can get Picard back. Picard was really good. That was really good. But
that's super cool. Yeah. I'm gonna put in a plug for a Korean game show.
How shocked am I?
It wouldn't be me if I didn't. It's called The Great Escape. They just started season 3. Actually, season 3 just had to shut down because of coronavirus, but it'll be back soon, everybody. And it is a puzzle room escape show with a group of 6 celebrities of various natures that have to break out of puzzles. But the nice thing about the show is they have a really huge budget, so they can do some pretty crazy things of like crazy sets and elevators that come out of nowhere. And the puzzles are really elaborate game theory combined with the really good set design and storytelling. It's a lot of fun, and it's a nice mix of celebrities who are both kind of smart and also like to shout excitedly about things. So there's always sort of a feel-good moment where they discover a new clue or they find a key and they all high-five each other and you're like, yeah! So it's game theory and feeling good about yourself, which is like a catnip combination for me. But The Great Escape, yeah, check it out. Season 3 started right now. That's what I got. And that's our. That's it. We're at time now.
That is... You've been on too many conference calls recently. Wow.
Yeah,
I need to take really, some. I need to take some action items away from this.
Yeah, I'll follow up with the agenda and our action items after the call. Our to-dos, our go-tos. Let's circle back later. Anyway, thanks guys for taking time to come and do this again. I was like, you know what the world needs right now is another episode of Cat Context.
Well, more podcasts. All my podcasts are like, oh yeah, it's not good enough that we're just doing like once a week. Let's do daily episodes because you have more time. It's like, but my commute is gone and that is my podcast time.
Yeah, it's true. And those the McElroy podcasting empire, they're like putting out stuff every day now and whatnot. So yeah, I thought it's a good time for us to get back together 3 years later. So thanks for doing it.
Hooray.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it. I'm not going to... Arrow, tell us about Dragonsworn and where people can go for cool shit.
Oh, yeah. Man, people are buying a whole lot of soap right now. Imagine that. I'm making so much soap. I'm at Dragonsworn.net with a whole lot of really awesome, sparkly, good, smelly goodies. And also, I make dice. People are buying a lot of dice right now, playing a whole lot of Dungeons & Dragons.
Wait, how are they playing them with dice?
Well, some people don't like dice rollers online, and they trust their players, so they let you roll dice at a table. I'm one of those DMs. I hate dice rollers. I hate it. I would rather you cheat than use fake dice. Because I don't care. I'm not... I am a story DM, not a hack and slash DM.
It's fair.
So
we just got started. We're about six sessions into a Gloomhaven campaign when this all struck, and I can't wait to get back together and play more Gloomhaven because it's really good.
We're playing weekly on Roll20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can I just use Discord because I'm no good with maps and tool sets and things.
Yeah,
Mr. O does Roll20 though because he loves maps and minis and placements.
We bought a lot of maps.
Nice.
That's totally awesome. I don't have a site to plug because I don't have any sites anymore. They're all down. But like I said, I haven't been playing a lot of games, but I'm really into movies and going to film festivals. So letterboxd.com/Jezzica, JEZZICUH, and you can find all my movie stuff there.
Going to film festivals. Man, remember when we could do that? Remember when we could go to movie theaters?
I liked that. Maybe one day.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm boring these days.
Ella's got nothing to plug. But that was it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay home.
Stay home. Stay safe. Stay home. All right, I'm going to turn off recording now.
Right. Hopefully the sound actually recorded.